being comfortable with the uncomfortable. Put your hands up here if you like comfort. Put your hands up if Vedanta Center is comfortable. Yeah, but we like comfort. And therefore, the idea of being uncomfortable, the idea of discomfort, can feel very unnerving. When I came to the Hare Krishna movement, I found that devotees then tended to do different things repeatedly. Like, for example, one thing devotees do repeatedly is astrology. Have you noticed? Put your hands there if you've done astrology on more than one occasion. Another thing I found devotees do repeatedly is past life regressions. I tried it 11 times. It didn't work. Apparently the word on the street is Naveen Prabhu did one and it worked. And he didn't want to come back. Is that true? That's what I heard. And another thing that I noticed devotees do a lot is pass. All of them were in the ashram and they were like, you got to do a personality test. You know, I was like, I've been living in the movement so many years, I didn't do it. I said, you should do. So I did a personality test and my personality is, amongst many other things, that I'm an introvert. More specifically, I'm an introvert who's not socially awkward. So although I can engage with people, hopefully, in a normal way, actually I get energy when I'm alone. I'm a very introverted person. Put your hands up if here you would say you're an introvert. More on introverts. Yeah, I just want to give you a warning. Living in the Hare Krishna movement and being an introvert is a little dangerous. This movement is like a minefield for introverts. Sometimes you end up having to do all of these things you would never, you know. Like last year, we were on the Pandavasena trip and Vindakishori comes and says, Prabhu, I'd like you to be a cuckoo. Cuckoo, in front of 100. I said, Mataji, I'm here to serve, I'm here to, you know, I really want to help. And you know what her killer line was? She was like, no Prabhu, it will inspire the devotees. Inspire people by being a cuckoo. Anyway, I did it. It was tough, you know. As an introvert, it's tough, you know. You want the ground to open up and you want to disappear into that. Yeah, you can laugh. In the future, it may happen to you also. I'm an introvert, you know. I'm going to share something about my life journey. Please, with your permission, I'm not indulging in self-talk here, but it's relevant to the topic we're talking about. When I grew up, one of my mission statements in life was, I just want to fit into the crowd. I just want to fit. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be in the front. I just want to fit into the crowd. That's what I want to do. So all my life, this was my meditation. Like, how am I going to fit into the crowd? When I was about 15, in the space of 1 year, I grew about 1 meter. And then I ended up, at the age of 16, being like double the height of everyone else, my age. And I was like, I just wanted to fit in, you know. I just wanted to merge into the crowd. Anyway, I thought, there's still hope. So I tried to be as normal as possible as I was growing up, even though I was taller than everyone else. And then later on, I got in contact with Krishna consciousness. And devotees, they are like a completely different species. Yeah, like when you become a devotee, you think and act and completely different to everyone else. So now, I was finding even more difficult to fit in, because I was like, taller, standing out, and then also like a Hare Krishna, you know, checking all the E numbers and, you know, all this stuff. Everyone's like, what are you doing, you know? You're looking at the price. No, I'm not looking at the price. I'm looking at the E numbers. And then I grew up in the movement. I thought, okay, let me try and be as normal as possible in Krishna consciousness. And then I decided to become a brahmachari. A speck of saffron in an ocean of white. I was like, oh my God, here I am again, out of the crowd, you know. Then I thought, let me try and be as normal as possible as a brahmachari, fit into the crowd, you know. And then somehow or other, through my years in Krishna consciousness, I always ended up doing some kind of being in front of the crowd, either giving a talk or managing a project or... And I'm like, I'm in front of 100 people and I'm like, why am I here? I'm supposed to be on that side. My goal in life is to fit into the crowd. Why am I on this side? And then later on, nowadays, I walk around with a stick. It's like the ultimate, you know, like... I mean, if you want to stick, I'll give you a tip. If you want to stick out of the crowd, if you want to stand out, walk around with a stick, you know, 6 foot long in saffron. And all my life I tried to fit into the crowd. And it never worked. And you know what? And I'm going to tell you something shocking that occurred to me through all of this. When I look back in my life, I saw that all the times when I felt uncomfortable, all the times when I did something which wasn't part of my plan, all the time when I had to embrace something which didn't really come naturally to me, when I started looking back on my life, you know what I realized? Something shocking. Is that the times when I felt the most uncomfortable were the times when I often made the most progress, the most discovery, and felt the closest contact to Krishna. That for me was completely shocking. You know why? Because it made me realize that in the future, there are going to be many, many more uncomfortable things. Many, many more situations when you're going to have to come out of the safe zone. Many, many more times when you may stick out. But if you learn the art of being comfortable with the uncomfortable, you can avail of all of those opportunities that come in being uncomfortable and utilize them to make incredible progress and discovery in your life. And so I realized after some time that this art, if you can learn this art, know for sure you will make immense progress in Krishna consciousness. If you can know, learn this art. Of this, in Krishna consciousness, I can't say I have realizations about many things. But this statement, I can tell you, hand on heart, I have very, very clear realization of this by Krishna's mercy. So becoming comfortable with the uncomfortable is actually an incredible art. That we want comfort in our life is not... Who thinks it's a bad thing that we want comfort? Does anyone think it's a bad thing that we want comfort? Do you think comfort's natural?
Yes, it's comfort seekers.
We are comfort seekers. The soul by nature seeks comfort. Right, exactly. It can't be that the goal of life is to be uncomfortable. That just would seem completely antithetical to our experience. Basically, according to our philosophy, Krishna bahir mukha hoya bhoga vanchakore. Nikata astam maya tare japati adhare. Krishna bahir mukha. As soon as you look away from Krishna, hoya bhogavan chakare, and you try to enjoy separately from Krishna, then what happens is you descend to this world. And when you descend to this world, what happens? Nikata star, standing nearby, maya tare, is maya, illusion. Japatiya dhare, and maya is striking the conditioned soul again and again and again. So basically, we exist in a position of complete comfort, complete security, complete happiness, complete naturality with Krishna in the spiritual world. But then what happens is we look away from Krishna. We come to this world and then we feel completely insecure. Basically, everyone in this world is completely insecure to a greater or lesser extent. Well, you see, I'm insecure. There's someone behind me. So I'm going to break the window, you know. Everyone in this world is insecure. How much we seek acceptance, how much we seek appreciation, how much we seek acknowledgement, how much we seek to find security, comfort. But the basic problem is, we're in an uncomfortable situation because we left Krishna. And now here we are in a completely insecure situation in this world, and therefore what we're trying to do is grasp at any type of comfort we can find. Would you agree? We look for comfort in all situations in life. However, there's another calling within the conditioned soul. One calling within the conditioned soul is to find comfort, because we are by nature, as Krishna says, meant to be comfortable. But the other calling within the conditioned soul is to discover the essence of our being. Now the problem in the material world is that the way in which we seek comfort blocks us from finding our potential. The way in which we seek comfort is neither sustainable nor progressive. And therefore, although 99.9% of the population is looking for comfort, the net result of pursuing and finding all of that so-called comfort, if it's done in the wrong way, is that it makes you unhappy ultimately. And therefore, on one hand we have comfort, and on another hand we have an aspiration. And sometimes these things are in competition. If you want comfort, then you can't realize your aspirations. And if you want to realize your aspirations, you can't find comfort. So how do you deal with these two things? Because we want both of these things. What do you want? What do you want, Ravi? Comfort or aspiration?
A balance.
A balance. Choose one.
Aspiration.
You want aspiration. But if you learn this art, the art of how to become comfortable with the uncomfortable, you don't have to compromise on any of those things. You can find comfort and you can find aspiration. Too good to be true? Yeah. Krishna says, yeah, with a resigned look. I don't think so. I think it's possible. But let's have a discussion on that. Now, some presentations I come with prepared, and some I don't. I mean, just to put it very plainly. So, literally on the flight here, I put a few things together. But what we're going to do today is we're going to make this more... I'm not going to go in such a structured way. I'm going to say a few things. And then what I'm going to do actually for tomorrow's session is going to be completely interactive based on what we discussed today. So I'm not quite sure where this is going to go, but hopefully it will go to a good place. Okay. So, stages of comfort. Each of us, as I said, in this world are looking for comfort. But we all look for comfort in different ways. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manushyanam saha shreshu kashkit yatati siddhaye Yatati api siddhanam kashkin maam veti tatvatah. Krishna says, out of many thousands of people in this world, one person may endeavor for perfection. And of those who are endeavoring for perfection, maybe one knows me in truth, Krishna says. That's an amazing statement. And you can look at this statement, I've thought about this verse from many different angles. Today I'm going to look at this verse from the point of view of comfort. Basically, 99.9% of the people in this world are just endeavoring to find comfort in material life. This world is is constantly changing. It is constantly turning things on its head. Our body is changing, our relationships are changing, our fortunes are changing, our health is changing, everything's changing. And in the midst of the constant change of this material world, Krishna says it's extremely uncomfortable. Dukhalayam, ashashvatam. Everything's so temporary. And even not just physically, on an ego level, we're experiencing so much ego death, you know. Questions about our own identity. You know, we base our self-worth on having a certain ability, and then someone comes along with a better ability, and then we feel like very insecure again. So most people are just trying to find comfort in material life, an identity that they're comfortable with, a family, a job, money in the bank, security, tick all the boxes so that at least I can feel comfortable in this world, socially, economically, relationally, in all ways. Let me just try and be comfortable in material life. What is the job of a preacher? Once I asked one devotee, actually just recently I asked one sannyasi, what's the job of a sannyasi? He says, the job of a sannyasi is to rock the boat. He said, the job of a sannyasi is to make the comfortable uncomfortable. The job of a preacher is to create a gap in people's lives so they realize that there's a great thing that can be achieved, and at the moment we're falling way short of that. And then to, in an inspiring and empowering way, encourage people to walk that path. So there, most people in this world are comfortable in material life, and then what does a preacher of Krishna consciousness come along and do? He makes them uncomfortable. Does you think you're comfortable? You don't know. There are three miseries. There's birth, death, disease and old age. Moga sha, moga karmana, moga jnana vicheta sha. All your hopes, all your dreams, all your plans will be frustrated. You've based your life upon lies that have become a truth, truths that have become cultures that have become traditions, and you're running for so many things, but you don't know that none of this is going to make you happy. And so most people are looking for comfort in material life, and then what does a preacher come along and do? Makes that person uncomfortable. So that from those many, many thousands of people, maybe some will realize comfort in material life doesn't work. Let me try for something else. And out of those many thousands, then a few may come forward and take up spiritual life. So that was our journey. That's why we're all sitting here. Because at one point, maybe we were comfortable in material life, or maybe something happened which made us uncomfortable with material life. But basically, we didn't stay in that first circle. We decided to take up spiritual life. But then when you come to spiritual life, we're also looking for comfort. We're also looking to find our dharma. We're also looking to find a situation in which we can practice Krishna consciousness and at the same time find a stable situation. So we're also looking for comfort in spiritual life as well. And most people are, that's basically where most of their energy is going. Finding a comfortable Krishna conscious spiritual life. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. That's why we have Varanashram, because there needs to be a sense of stability. even when you're practicing Krishna consciousness. But then what does a preacher come and do? Just like the preacher comes and preaches to all the non-devotees and tells them, don't be comfortable with material life. There's something more beyond that. The preacher also comes into the association of devotees and says, don't also just get comfortable in your spiritual life. There's something beyond that. Manushyanam sahasreshu kashkit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashkin mam veti tatvata. Beyond being comfortable in spiritual life. Comfortable in spiritual life, you're a sadhaka, you're trying, you're endeavoring, and you're trying to find your position. But then the preacher comes and says, there's something more. There's no comfort in the material world, and there's no comfort even in a nice Krishna-centered life in which we tick all the boxes of dharma and so on. The real comfort in our life comes when we are actually Krishna conscious. Just being in Krishna consciousness, having a spiritual life, doesn't mean you are Krishna conscious. Being in spiritual life and being in the Krishna consciousness movement affords you an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And therefore, the middle circle is very, very dangerous because there's an illusion of comfort. Because you look back and you think, I'm not a materialist anymore. I'm out of that illusion. And therefore I'm okay. But what we may not realize is that in the comfort of spiritual life, we may not be actually finding Krishna. And then until and unless you find Krishna, you can never truly experience real comfort. So comfort, the reason why we have to become uncomfortable is so that we don't stick in zones one or two here. Why are we, it's not that we're like masochistic, you know, that we're all looking for discomfort, we're looking for pain. Like when you come to the Krishna consciousness movement, look for discomfort, look for pain, look to go out of the comfort zone. This is nectar, Prabhu. But what we are interested in is growth. What we are interested in is discovery. What we are interested in is finding Krishna. And in order to do all of those things, practically it's impossible unless you embrace discomfort. And unless you accept and become comfortable with becoming uncomfortable. And so these are basically some initial thoughts that I want to share with you. And before I continue on and go forward, I'm just going to see whether anyone may have any comments or clarifications, because I've presented this and I don't know if it's 100% clear for you. So does anyone have any questions or comments they would like to make on any of this so far? Is it clear what I'm saying? Yeah, Karuna Ras.
Just a corollary to this, if someone is feeling comfortable in aggressive Krishna consciousness, that means they are religious.
So does this mean that what I'm saying is if someone is living a Krishna conscious life, say for example they're following all the principles, they're following sadhana bhakti, and they're quite content in their life, does that mean that they are in illusion? Ignorance means you stay in the comfort zone. Okay? Passion means you go into the crisis zone. But goodness means you're going into the creative zone. So there's a sense in which one can have a Krishna conscious life, but still be comfortable and not be in the creative zone of their life. And therefore, yes, they're following the principles, they're following the 16 rounds, they're following the culture of Krishna consciousness, they're doing everything. But it may not be enough to find Krishna. Now you may say, but Prabhupada said, if you follow four regs, And, God, I was going to say 16 rags and 4 rounds there, but if you follow 4 rags and 16 rounds, then you're guaranteed you'll go back home, back to Godhead. I would say that, of course, that's true. That's Prabhupada's statement, so we can't say that's not true. But Prabhupada did also say many other things about the quality of chanting and other things. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bahu janma kari jadi shravana kirtan tabutana paya krishna pade prema dhan. For many lifetimes you can do hearing and chanting. Doesn't mean you'll necessarily get Krishna. So it seems to me that you can have a spiritual life and be following everything. But unless you move out from the comfort zone into the creative zone, growing, moving towards Krishna, making sacrifice, going into a space is unknown to you, that's where you meet Krishna. That's where you discover a higher level of surrender. That's where you experience Krishna magic. Because it's not known to you. And that's why I said, being in the Krishna consciousness movement and being in spiritual life does not equal being Krishna conscious. We need to make that distinction. It's an opportunity. But now, what is going to be your quality of practice within that opportunity that will afford you that great gift? If Krishna is saying, out of many thousands, one may endeavor, and out of thousands that endeavor, one may get it, that means you've got to make a special effort. If you want to achieve what others don't achieve, you have to be ready to do what others would not be ready to do. Look at every story in the Bhagavatam, people were making an incredible endeavor to come out of their comfort zone. They didn't have to, but they did. Because they were driven by a desire to find Krishna. Prabhupada learned the art of becoming uncomfortable. You see, Prabhupada could have said, he went to Vrindavan and he became a mendicant in Vrindavan. He left everything behind. He took sannyas and he lived at Radha Damodar. He said, I'm crying alone in the wilderness. Krishna has taken everything away from me. But he was okay. He was being comfortable with the uncomfortable. Because he knew, anyway, there's no comfort in this world. The real comfort comes when we find Krishna, when we follow the call of Krishna. So Prabhupada was comfortable with the uncomfortable. He became a mendicant in Vrindavan. He stretched the vision. Prabhupada then got passage to go on board the Jaladuta to America. He became comfortable. He was comfortable with the uncomfortable. Because he knew, okay, this is Krishna's will. This is Krishna. I'm walking with Krishna's plan. I will find Krishna. Prabhupada arrived. He was in Boston. But then he said, this is not the place. I have to go to New York. He became comfortable with the uncomfortable. So then he went to New York. In New York, he was in upstate New York in Dr. Mishra's apartment. And he was preaching to the higher class, the yogis. Prabhupada said, this is not the place. I need to go to the depths of the Lower East Side, the Skid Row. He became comfortable with the uncomfortable. And he walked there to find Krishna. You see, so we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing to walk into an unknown, to walk into a creative space, to walk into an uncomfortable space? That's where you'll meet Krishna. Why, then some may say, well, why? Why can't Krishna come into the comfort zone? Like, why do I have to go into the uncomfortable zone to meet Krishna? Why can't? I thought they said, if you take one step to Krishna, he takes 10 to you. So why can't I take one step in my comfort zone and he can take the 10 and cover the other distance and come to me? We have to come to the point of realizing there's no comfort in this material world. Then you'll find Krishna. But the only way you'll realize there's no comfort in this material world and the real comfort is with Krishna is when you come and embrace discomfort. Anyway, I'm going on your question. Did I answer your question? You can respond to that if it's not fair. By the way, I'm in creative zone here. So I'm kind of also thinking out loud because I don't have a prepared speech. So I'm very open to being edified on my understanding. So yes. Sir, do you want to say something? Okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, when I say being uncomfortable, I don't mean doing something, you know, like you have to be a cuckoo in front of 100 people. It's not my nature. There's a way of being uncomfortable even within your nature. Say for example, your dharma is to be a teacher. Now, when I say become comfortable with being uncomfortable, does that mean like now I have to not be a teacher, I have to be like, you know, I don't know, a book distributor and, you know. No, you can be a teacher, but you can make an extra special effort now. You can stretch yourself in your dharma and go above and beyond the call of duty. There's a way to be comfortable within your dharma. It's not that in Krishna consciousness, when we're raising this point, we're saying do something that's completely alien to you. But what we are saying is make a special effort, make a sacrifice, go beyond what comes easy to you. Go into a space in which you have to depend on Krishna. Once we were in GBC college, and Devamita Maharaj was giving a class, and someone said, Maharaj, what's the best service you can do? And Maharaj said, the service that causes you to cry out for Krishna's help. That was a nice answer. The best service you can do is the service which causes you to cry out for Krishna's help. Because there you find Krishna. So go above and beyond the call of duty. You don't have to go outside of your dharma, but go above. Prabhupada didn't have to. Prabhupada was told to preach, right? Isn't it? In the English language, he could have wrote one book and stopped there, but he didn't. He wrote till the final days. Prabhupada was told, yes, establish temple. He could have established one in New York. Done it. I done it. Okay, I'm done. The order of the spiritual master must be full. I done it. But he didn't. Till the last day he was traveling. Prabhupada came to the manor in 1977. Prabhupada was ready. He was ready to go on another world tour. How? You're about to leave? No, Prabhupada said, no, I will go. Then it got so acute in London that he had to go back to Vrindavan, but he was ready. Prabhupada could have made one disciple in the Western world, but he didn't. He made thousands. He gave so many chances. I was on a walk with Sachinanda Maharaj the day before yesterday, and Maharaj told me a beautiful story. Prabhupada was with one person. And Prabhupada was giving him a lot of time. You know, someone like Srila Prabhupada, his time is like gold dust. Huh? Who gets time with Prabhupada? So there was this one man, and the devotee said, Prabhupada, forget this man. You know, he's not going to do anything. He's just a time waster. He just wants to be with you, say so many things, ask so many things. He's not going to do anything with it. He's just a time waster. Prabhupada said, no, it's okay. So Prabhupada gave this person so much attention. Anyway, months went by. Sure enough, this person left. Didn't seemingly, at least in that period, he didn't do anything. So the devotee came back to Prabhupada. He didn't say, I told you so. I mean, you wouldn't say that to Prabhupada. But he said, you know, Prabhupada, you know, this person left. It was kind of like that thing was in the air. We told you, Prabhupada, you wouldn't do anything. Prabhupada said, you know what Prabhupada said? He said, what to do? I had to give him a chance. My duty is to give them a chance. It's such a beautiful story. That's what the pure devotee does. He just gives you a chance. And most of the time he knows people won't even take the chance. He's giving all these chances to everyone and he knows probably most of these people will not take it. But he just goes and gives everyone the opportunity. Anyway, I lost my train of thought why I told that story. Anyway, you can make the link. You can remember better than me. But anyway, essentially my point is that you don't have to be outside. You have to go above and beyond the call of duty. Is that? Does that help? Yes, Krishna.
Take the example of for yourself and being uncomfortable as being an extrovert, so to speak.
And can you say speak a little louder?
Yeah, sure. And you're saying in your example being uncomfortable being an extrovert. But for an extrovert, being uncomfortable might be being an introvert, being part of the crowd. And it's probably you get more recognition for being front facing and being uncomfortable, but you get less recognition for being inward facing.
Wow. Can you say, can you rephrase it in a more simple way? Maybe if someone else wants to rephrase it. Well, you can rephrase it. Okay, an extra, I explained I was an introvert, and then for me, being uncomfortable was being in extrovert type positions. If someone's an extrovert, then being uncomfortable. Remember, I'm not saying that an introvert to be uncomfortable has to become an extrovert. They may not. Like I was saying here, you can also be. I could remain an introvert in my life, do introvert type things, and still be in the uncomfortable zone. So just to make that point, that it's not like you have to do something which is completely. But your point is now that if someone's an extrovert, then being uncomfortable is doing things behind the scenes. Yeah, go on. Someone can comment on that while.
Because I think you're saying from the third person view that if you're becoming extrovert, you're getting recognition, so it must be comfortable. But for that person, it may create panic attack or anxiety.
I guess what I'm trying to ask is I'll try to rephrase them. Yeah,
okay. Let me just also say, like, say for example, for an extrovert, what would be being uncomfortable for an extrovert? Like, say for example, something an extrovert person can do to kind of go above and beyond the call of duty is empower others, push others forward, use all your charisma, use all your confidence, use all of that stuff to push someone else forward, to empower others. And in that way, you know, you... Different people will go, like Kadamakanda Maharaj once said something to me which was interesting. He said, in the beginning, in the Krishna consciousness movement, I did things. Later on, I was responsible for things. Later on, I was responsible for people who were doing things. And now, I'm responsible for people. So that, I thought that was quite interesting, you know, that there's a way in which, you know, one can develop, and even with someone with an extrovert nature, it's not that you have to now do the opposite or something like that, but you can find ways to stretch the vision whilst engaging whatever qualities you have. Anyway, that's just the point.
You said that from the Bhagavatam and from some of your examples, that when people are in an uncomfortable situation,
mm-hmm.
that there's many success stories of how they found comfort in that. But there are also many examples of people being in uncomfortable situations, and abuse comes, bullying comes, suicide comes, many other things. So there could be an element of fear of going in the uncomfortable when you're exposed to the negative ramifications of being in an uncomfortable situation. So, like, you know, if there's a drama night, you now know to not turn up if Vinicuri there. As an example, so putting yourself at risk of, rather than growing from the uncomfortable situation, having a permanent
scar.
A scar.
And we'll talk about this. How, in order to embrace this, being comfortable with the uncomfortable, it actually requires real community. Without community, loving community, community of non-envy, community of genuine Vaishnava friendships, community of empowerment and encouragement, this will thrive when you create that community. If someone tries to do this alone, it can be very dangerous. But remember what I said. Ignorance means to stay in the comfort. Passion means to then venture to the crisis. But goodness means to be in a creative zone. That means like what you'd call in modern psychology, eustress. A type of stress that grows you, that bends you without breaking you. And how do you know what's the difference between a comfort, creative, and a crisis zone? For that, you need genuine friendships. You need genuine community, which then... In Prabhupada's time, it's amazing. Devotees were able, and there were also not so good stories as well, but there were also very good stories of incredible things that were achieved because there was an incredible community spirit. In 1976, the devotees in America did a print run of the Bhagavad Gita. 1 million copies. Okay? In order to bring the paper to the printing factory, it was a train which had so many carriages that it went 3 miles long. At this time in the world, nobody had in the history of the world printed 1 million copies of any book. It was a world record. And why? How did devotees do that? Because they had an order of Prabhupada and they created a community of love which generated an empowerment, which meant they could do incredible things. Shri Prabhu used to say that, if you want to walk fast, walk alone. But if you want to walk far, walk with many. So when you create a community of love, a community of non-envy, a community in which you know every single other person here wants me to be the best I can be, that in that kind of community, miracles happen. Because everyone is able to embrace this in a healthy way. And in that kind of community, even when someone does overstep it a little bit, the love of the community will come and nurture that person back to good health. So that's what I would say. Do it with a strong Vaishnava relationships and community. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. If you can create that, you're going to create miracles. I don't know if that is okay. Yeah. Yes.
I realize this is a broad question, but I thought that this is a nice time to ask. How do we create a community of non-envy?
Wow, okay. Seminar two.
What other question?
How do we create a community of non-envy? First and foremost, every single member of the community themselves has to be growing in their relationship with Krishna. If individually we are not emotionally stable and spiritually strong, doesn't mean you have to be a pure devotee. Doesn't mean every single person has to be like that one person that knows Krishna out of the thousands. But it means there needs to be a sincerity. The more we generate sincerity within the practice of every single person within that community, then when you have a community full of progressive spiritual practitioners who may not be pure devotees, but who are progressive devotees. See, this is a very important distinction. A society of pure devotees may seem utopian. It is utopian. Even Prabhupada said, don't expect a utopia in the Krishna consciousness movement. So expecting a society of pure devotees, but we can strive towards a society of progressive devotees. So I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing is hearing and chanting. Deep hearing and chanting together. What does it say in the Bhagavatam? Yatre dyante kathamrishtas trishnaya prashamogata nirveiram yatra bhuteshu nodvego yatra kaschana. Wherever the talks of Krishna, yatre dyante kathamrishtas, wherever the talks of Krishna are going on, trishnaya prashamogata nirveiram yatra bhuteshu, all the members of the assembly forget their material hankerings and their envy of each other. And in the translation, Prabhupada writes, at least for the time being. It's interesting, Prabhupada says. At least for the time being, when everyone is in the bubble of Krishna Katha, then you forget everything. You forget all of that competition, that envy. You're almost elevated to another level. Yashyam vai shriyamanayam. When you hear this, all hankering, lamentation, illusion disappears. In a community where there is strong hearing and chanting together. In a community where there is leaders who are genuine servant leaders. Whatever the leaders do, that will filter down everywhere. The problem in Kali Yuga is that followers question everything and leaders do questionable things. That's why this whole atmosphere is pervaded by a skepticism of leaders. Yeah, he's nice, but it seems this has some agenda there. He's on his own kind of thing. So leaders have to be above suspicion. Leaders have to really be empowering. Leaders really have to be servants. Leaders really have to be there not to fulfill their own ambitions, but to serve everyone else so that they can do the best they can for Krishna. So I think leadership is a big thing. I think hearing and chanting is a big thing. I think devotees in their individual lives, being progressive is a big thing. There are many components that make a community of non-envy. But this is what Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to be. So if you create that type of sangha, it becomes extremely powerful. And all of these concepts that we talk about in Krishna consciousness, practically I've seen that none of them can really and truly manifest unless you have a community of love. You won't. Some unique individuals may be able to do it, but for most we need each other's support to really rise. I think many things could be said on your question. So yes, Sitirani. And the pure, like to.
Just purely, for Krishna, or can it start off with somebody's motive and then still bear fruit?
Interesting question. Well, practically in everything we do in Krishna consciousness, we know that there is some level of impurity. It's not a question of how much material desire, it's not a question of whether we have material desire or not in anything we do in Krishna consciousness, it's more a question of how much. When it comes to doing something uncomfortable, we could have impure motives, name and fame, recognition, you know, power, ego, so many things could be there. What I would say is if there is a spark of sincerity in there, even though there may be so many other things, one will find Krishna in that. Prabhupada also knew, he was empowering many people and he knew that many people may not have 100% good motive. Even when book distributors are competing, transcendental competition. Going into the uncomfortable zone. Yeah, I saw devotees on marathons do, oh my God. Seriously uncomfortable things. I mean, you know, going out in the morning and out in the morning at 8, back at 6, an hour in the car, and then out at 7, back at 1, somehow or other fit in your rounds, and back out on the street at 8 again. Seriously uncomfortable. But maybe it wasn't 100% for Krishna. You know, one devotee once came at the end of the... I remember he came, he walked in at 9, and he found... And then he was like, was exhausted. You know, 13, 14 hours on the street, absolutely exhausted. He came... It was this, it was brahmachari, and then, you know, and then one other brahmachari said, "Pooh, you know, it's Mataji. She did 10 more books than me." And in that moment, he just got a surge of energy, and he just boom, he just went out again, and he came back after 1.5 hours. It's like, okay, that was interesting. It was maybe it was not entirely pure. Well, it wasn't entirely pure. Let's just be honest, yeah. But I think he got benefit. Krishna is kind. Krishna sees, yeah, within all the midst of all the nonsense desires we have, he looks for the good, isn't it? So I think even if our motivation is not entirely pure, then any time you make an endeavor for Krishna, there's great benefit. Yeah. Yeah, Shyam Priya Mataji.
Is there a thing called becoming too comfortable in Krishna consciousness? There's a danger of being stagnant or being falling into the opposite.
Yeah, let me just clarify. When I talk about comfort in Krishna consciousness, in this stage, what I'm talking about is not when we find comfort in a situation. You see, in the other two, what we're trying to look for is comfort in a situation. But comfort in a situation in the material world is an absolutely ridiculous idea. You're trying to be comfortable in an uncomfortable place. The only way you can be comfortable is not in a situation, it's in a state of consciousness. Therefore, what does Krishna say in the Gita? Nasti buddhir ayuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavana na cha bhavayata shantir ashantasya kutha sukham. Krishna says, nasti buddhir ayuktasya. If you are ayuktasya, if you are not connected with the Supreme, nacha bhavayata shantir. If you're not connected with the Supreme in a relationship of love, there's no question of peace. Ashantasya kutha sukham. And without peace, where is the question of happiness? Peace does not come from a situation. Peace is not the absence of anxiety. Peace is the presence of Krishna in every situation in your life. And when you accept uncomfortable situations, you're forced to remember Krishna. So then you begin to see Krishna everywhere. And then you find peace in the discomfort. You find comfort in the uncomfortable. Because you're not looking for comfort in a situation, you're looking for comfort in a connection. Does that make clear? Yes.
Maharaj, what you're saying is that being uncomfortable can be different for different people. Yes.
Yes, everyone has their own way. Yes.
Right. An extrovert, introvert, whatever is comfortable.
Yes, exactly.
So does that mean that being uncomfortable means that you have to overcome our individual conditionings, which we are victim of in the process of becoming, trying to connect with Krishna? So that you don't go to our past and then leave it to unfold, because it is unknown to us. I cannot behave like an introvert, but I'll try for the sake of connection. Would you say that?
Yes, I would say that part of being uncomfortable is to challenge some of your conditionings for a higher cause. And now I don't know, I messed up the whole time on this thing. It's 6:20. Oh my God, okay. So we talked about this. I'm going to wrap up. Basically, there are different types of discomfort. There's voluntary discomfort and involuntary discomfort that comes in your life. Voluntary discomfort is when you make a choice as a devotee to accept some kind of something uncomfortable for your growth in Krishna consciousness. And involuntary means something will happen in your life which will cause you to become uncomfortable. And how do you then register and use that? And basically, these are the two types of discomfort that come. And ultimately, that is what gives us the growth into the unknown of Krishna consciousness. So, what I basically, and maybe I'll talk about this tomorrow, but basically, what we're going to do is we're going to have a board. This board, or some board, or this board. We've got two boards here. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, someone once gave me a good tip. He says, as a teacher, if you haven't prepared anything, then just do an interactive. No, I'm not just getting out. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, between now, what time is the session tomorrow?
Same time,
okay. I put some ideas out there today about being uncomfortable with the uncomfortable. Now what I'm going to ask you is, we're going to put these boards, and I'm going to really, really ask you if you can do this. We're going to put post-it notes, and what we want you to write down is, what are your fears, reservations and blocks when you hear this statement, become comfortable with the uncomfortable? On the other side, what have been your inspirations, your realizations, your experiences of this? And what are your questions on this? Do you have any reservations? I just want to hear from you, what does this really mean to you? Is it practical? Is it impractical? Is it like, yeah, it sounds nice in the class, but I don't really think I want to do this? I just really want to try and understand from you, what goes in your hearts and minds when you hear this? Is it exciting? Is it inspiring? Is it intimidating? Is it something you want to do? Is it something you believe in? Is it something you don't have faith in? It would be nice to just hear from you, and then what I'll do is I'll collect all of your thoughts, and then I'll try to share that, and then we'll have a little bit of a discussion based on that. Is that okay? Okay, so thank you so much. Apologies for my unstructured presentation, but there are some things here that I hope will give you food for thought, and then I hope tomorrow we can churn it further. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.